Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm your host, Jason Logan. That guy there is former odds maker turned professional sports bettor, Todd Furman. And we've got 10 minutes of high-protein, low-fat NFL handicapping for Week 15 coming at you. We're talking NFL futures shopping. We're talking Thursday Night Football, Falcons, Bucks. We're talking anytime touchdown bets. And we're going to give our two-minute drill, best wagers for Week 15. Before we get to that, though, Todd, I got to give you your flowers here, buddy. We had another good week of podcast picks, including a 4-0 sweep from yourself. We went 2-0 Thursday Night Football. You hit your touchdown bet with Kincaid. And then we went 3-1 with the two-minute drill bets, including that sweat-free Minnesota Vikings money line.
Look, every now and again, it's nice when a plan comes together. I know we didn't offer up the best market entry on the Vikings. We gave it out on Wednesday, but still figured it had major legs. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the folks that tuned in a little bit later had a better number and were able to have the sweat-free cash alongside both of us.
Yeah, that was a clean week, especially for you, my friend. So let's keep it up. Before we dish out more winners here for Week 15, we're going to ask that if you listen, if you watch, if you like what we're doing, if you tailed Todd last week, let us know. Rate and review the podcast on any platform that you listen to us on. And if you're watching us on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe to that Covers YouTube channel. It's bowl season. There's lots of good football coming up. So let's stay hot here. 600 seconds on the clock, please. It's holiday shopping season. Todd, how's your holiday shopping coming along? Are you a last-minute guy, or you get this stuff knocked out right away?
I mean, look, don't we all wait till the 23rd hour? And for me, who celebrates Hanukkah and Christmas, I can wait till the 23rd hour for both holidays, if my heart desires. But honestly, J-Lo, sometimes I feel like a Grinch this time of year. We're not really a big gift-giving family at this point. So the wife and I, if there's something we want, more often than not, we'll buy it for ourselves. And even when it comes to the family, it's just kind of showing some small appreciation that's there. More that family togetherness above all else, and hoping people don't claw each other's eyes out when we all gather together.
That's nice. A lot of coupons for foot rubs and stuff like that. Very good.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far, but sure. Sounds great in theory, buddy.
All right. Well, if we're talking NFL futures, Week 15 is pretty much like going shopping on December 24th. Like, it can be slim pickings. That said, there might be some golden nuggets at the bottom of the bargain bin. So let's look at some last-minute buys, potentially some value shots here in some of these futures markets that aren't absolutely already decided. Let's go AFC Championship. Now, the Bills are the front runners here, but we have Buffalo, Denver, New England, Houston, all between plus 375 and plus 550 at Bet365. That's the front window display, but is there anything good in the back?
So here's the interesting part about the AFC right now. You can throw a blanket over all these teams and how they'll power rate. And I can make a legitimate case that a money line rollover for any team that won't be the number one seed is probably going to pay a little bit better than what's currently being offered in the futures market. But this was a team we talked about a few weeks ago, and I thought it was a good time to buy the Houston Texans, not just big picture, but for the division. And I still haven't changed my stance. While I have reservations about what this team can do offensively, game in, game out, the one common denominator is how they perform defensively. And they're going to be a thorn in everyone's side, because I think for the first time in a long time, all of the AFC contenders are inherently flawed.
Yeah. And I mean, I could even see, like, you know, we have Pittsburgh out there plus 2,000. Pittsburgh's one of those teams that can go and upset.
Stop.
They could go in and upset
the
apple cart.
It's the Steelers. They could go up.
Well, at least
they're one and done.
That's the thing. They'll go in, they'll upset the apple cart, and then the AFC is on its ear, right? Let's talk NFC Championship. This wasn't as wide open a few weeks ago, but we've seen some of these bigger teams stumble. We have LA as the fave, plus 225 at Bet365, but Seattle, Green Bay, Philly, all within that plus 400, plus 550 range. Do we dare to dream? Do we look to the Lions? Do we look to Tampa Bay? God forbid, do we look to the Bears?
I will not be looking to the Bears. Okay. I will not be looking to the Lions, but I will stay in the NFC North and look to the Green Bay Packers. Despite my disdain for Matt LaFleur and his desire to allow inferior teams to hang around because he loves to employ this methodical, frustrating pace. But we've seen this Packers defense, even without Devontae Wyatt, continue to raise its level of play. I think Jeff Hafley's able to scheme things up along that defensive line. And offensively, I think this is a group that can hit its stride. Now you add Jaden Reed back into the mix. We've seen a little bit more balance in the backfield. And Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur always appear to play their best football in December. I know the price is a bit short, but I think at plus 4.25, the only team that really should scare the Green Bay Packers would be those Los Angeles Rams.
If the Packers can get a home game, that definitely helps them out too. Let's go offensive rookie of the year. Ted McMillan is the odds-on favorite, minus 150, followed by Jackson Dart, Ibuka, and then Tyler Warren, plus 750. I think that one's dead in the water with Phillip Rivers showing up this week. But I believe at some point, all of these guys are at the top of the rookie of the year odds here for offensive rookie of the year market. Anything outside, is it McMillan's to lose? Like we're going to see these guys play each other twice in the next, 4 weeks?
Legitimately the worst offensive rookie of the year grouping that we've had in a long, long time. And Ted McMillan has done nothing except catch a pair of touchdowns over the last couple of games, but all of his competition around him has done even less. So Ted will have a big stage here. You mentioned Ibuka. His role in the offense is diminished as they get healthier. The guy that I think still has a chance to come from off the pace would be Travion Henderson. If the Patriots are committed to their rookie running back, knowing the big stage he's going to have this weekend against the Bills, he'll have a Sunday night game against the Ravens team that could be on the outside of the playoffs. That, for me, is the value proposition right around 20-1 at Bet365.
Yeah. Let's go quickly. Coach of the year, Vrabel, the big minus 250 favorite now. But I feel like the next 2 weeks, we're going to see some potential odd shifts here. Pats have the Bills this week. Seahawks have the Rams on Thursday Night Football next week. Mike McDonald plus 600. I don't think he's out of the running here by any means.
No, I think this is a lot more wide open than the odds suggest. And I'm going to go even further on the board and take Dave Canales of the Carolina Panthers. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice down the stretch. If Carolina goes on to win the division, given what we saw from this team offensively early in the year, I think Canales deserves serious consideration. But he will need Vrabel to fall off, and he needs the Bears, in my opinion, to miss the playoffs.
All right. NFC South gets this Thursday Night Football game, Falcons at Bucks. Todd, give us a go. What do you like here at Thursday Night Football?
I'm going to go under the total in the first half, sitting at 22.5 at Bet365 right now. This is a Bucks offense that's really struggled to find its sea legs. We know Baker Mayfield dealing with a myriad of injuries. We're not sure which pass catchers, or in this case, which running backs may necessarily get the lion's share of the load. And this is a Falcons team on the flip side that is really struggling to find those explosive plays. Yes, Tyler Shuck made them look like they were a terrible defense defending the option last week, but Kirk Cousins' mobility won't factor in. I think this is a cagey game, especially early. And J-Lo, I know you watched that Saints-Bucks game. That turf looked awfully torn up. I'm not sure it's going to be a fast track at Raymond James on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Short turnaround to heal up for the turf, which doesn't grow as much, and it was rainy. For me, I'm going Bijan Robinson over 75.5 rushing yards, minus 110 at Bet365. Tampa Bay usually atop the run stop metrics, and they have been for most of 2025, except for the last month. They've seen their yards allowed per carry go from 3.9 to 4.7. If you like your advanced metrics, they've gone from number 3 in EPA allowed per handoff to 22nd in that metric since week 10. Robinson has run for 20 or more attempts in 3 of his last 4. He's gone over 80 yards in those. And in the one game where he ran just 14 times, he still went for 70 yards. So projections for Bijan set as high as 82, 84. There's some run stoppers at the linebacker core missing for the Bucs as well, too. I think they keep it simple and go with Robinson on the ground, over 75.5 rushing yards. Time for some touchdown bets. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Todd, who's getting in the end zone?
Look, J-Lo, this segment sometimes is going to be a little bit monotonous for some of our viewers because I'm getting predictable in the direction I'm going. And every single week, when you're going to give me an opposing tight end priced at more than 2-1 against this Bengals defense, I'm going to take that bait. I think Isaiah Likely fits the bill this week right around plus 260. Should have had a pair of touchdown catches against the Steelers, quickly emerging as one of Lamar Jackson's more reliable red zone threats. And for those folks who watched that game on Thanksgiving, I'm pretty sure Isaiah Likely would have liked to have that back when he crossed the goal line and got a little cavalier with the football. I'll take the Ravens emerging tight end plus 260. Right.
Tight ends versus the Bengals. They're putting my kids through college. I'm going with Raheem Shaheed here. Seattle plus 280. Starting to find his way in this Seattle playbook since coming over at the trade deadline. He had his biggest day receiving, 5 targets, 4 catches, 67 yards last week against the Falcons. But what has tempered his results has been a lot of zone coverage coming up in the schedule. A lot of these opponents play zone. This is a guy, a speedster, that is especially good at man. And he takes on a man-heavy secondary here from the Colts, who could be down both starting corners with Gardner and Ward questionable for this game. So I like Shaheed to rip it up here. Touchdown anytime in week 15. And then sprinkle in some special teams goes, and he could get into the end zone. Plus 280. Time to run the 2-minute drill. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Tata, I'm going to get us going here, and I'm going to take a big guzzle of the Haterade. Oh, I'm taking Shedeur Sanders, 2+ interceptions, +225 versus the Bears. Sanders has been a little babied here in the last few games. He's had success against 3 soft secondaries that play a lot of zone. Now he has to come to Chicago where it's blistering cold, and the crowd noise is really going to affect him because this offensive line is so banged up, especially his starting center, likely going to be out here. Timing for this offense is going to be a mess. The Bears are a man-heavy scheme. That means a lot more tighter throws. They lead the league in interceptions. I think he throws at least 2, +225.
Good luck to those intrepid Bears and Browns fans who may have their beers freezing by the time they go from the concession stand back to their seats, given the forecast for Sunday, since I know you are our resident weather guy here at Covers. I'm going to go to one of the marquee games of the day, and I know a lot of people want to eulogize the Kansas City Chiefs, but they still have a glimmer of hope, and I think they get the Chargers at the perfect time. The Chargers coming in on a short week, an emotional win against the Philadelphia Eagles when you watch Coach Harbaugh's comments. Justin Herbert's hand going to be a little bit swollen. He got absolutely lambasted, but credit his toughness. The Chiefs are going to pin their ears back, come after him. And I think the Chiefs are actually better offensively than what that final score suggested against the Texans. I'm going to buy the Chiefs at the bottom of the market one more time and lay the 4.5 here against their division rival.
All right, I'm going to buy back another good team playing bad football. I'm buying back the Eagles here, -10.5. Philadelphia has plenty to prove when it plays in front of the Link faithful this week. And Las Vegas could be the perfect opponent to do it against. The Eagles were able to pick up yards against the Bolts defense on Monday night. However, they just shot themselves in the foot and killed those drives with a ton of turnovers. Vegas comes to a chilly Link where it's going to be cold. It's going to be possibly snowy. There's going to be wind. And on top of that, Geno Smith has a noodle for an arm right now. We could see former Eagles backup Kenny Pickett under center. Look-ahead line was as big as 13.5 Eagles. I think they are the right side on this. -10.5. Give me the big, big lane lumber.
The Kenny Pickett revenge game everyone's yes. had circled
that's,
on there.
That's right. I immediately regret that bet.
Hey, look. No, nobody disrespects Kenny Pickett like that. I'll go to one of the bigger games of the day in terms of an interconference showdown taking place out at Mile High Stadium, but it's not going to be a side that I'm going to advocate for. It's a total, and I think defense will rule the day, especially early on for two offenses that are relatively conservative and don't give up a ton of big plays. You look at Matt LaFleur, we know how methodical he can be offensively, especially with the game script working in his favor. And on the flip side of things, look, Sean Payton can heap praise on Bo Nix as much as he wants, but this is a run-first offense that may be able to pick up 3 or 4 yards and keep those chains moving. I think defense dominates early in this contest. North of 3 touchdowns, I am happy to go under the total between the Broncos and the Green Bay Packers.
That is going to be one in the trenches. That is not going to be a fun or comfortable game. That's going to be a lot of big men running into each other, but a good game, a marquee game on the schedule. All right, the horn's long gone. We blew through that. Maybe next week we'll get inside the horn. I doubt it, though. But another 600 seconds is behind us. Big thanks to producer Chris. Glad to have you back, buddy. The podcast, the video is looking really, really good. Happy to have you here. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Bet365, and a big thanks to you for listening or watching or doing whatever it is you do to bring us into your home each week here ahead of week 15. Quick tap on the shoulder. We're going to ask you, rate, review, like, subscribe. Do all the actions. Do the dance. If you like what we're doing, if you won some bets last week, do a little dance. Help us reach more sports bettors just like yourself. Todd, we talked recently about wind being the most disruptive element. Snow, rain, those sort of things. But we have some really, really cold games and tap. How do you handicap cold, and is there an overreaction when the mercury falls?
I do think there's an overreaction, mainly because it's the defense that slows down a little bit more. It's tougher for those players to come out of their breaks as quickly. Mm-hmm. I know we mention all the time that the offense knows where they're going, and sometimes for teams that find themselves just playing out the string, it hurts a little bit more when a running back is coming downhill against a smaller defensive back to throw your shoulder in there and decide to put yourself in harm's way. So look for teams that are on the outside of the playoff picture that aren't used to playing in these frigid games that are typically some of those go against. We'll see how the market responds to it. Mm-hmm. And as we saw in Western New York between the Bengals and Bills, yes, the weather didn't look great, but it didn't stop that number from continuing to climb on game day. It was a snover or snow over with footing being at an all-time low. So those are the things you want to look for. And I also want to apologize to some of our listeners if they happen to hear a bit of heavy breathing as we wrap this up. No, that's not me dealing with any respiratory issues. It may be my dog, who apparently you and I, J-Lo, have put to sleep through the best 600 seconds of NFL content he gets each and every week.
I thought you were going to say it was me because I was shoveling snow right before I came on.
No, you got a little cardio. You got a little cardio in, and I credit you for being the father that leads by example. Because when my time comes, although we don't have a lot of snow to shovel out here in the desert, you can damn well bet that my kids are going to be out there shoveling 6 inches of snow that could potentially accumulate like my sister and I had to do growing up in the Chicago suburbs.
Yeah, builds character. That's why I got these broad shoulders, big snowplow shoulders. That makes me feel even better what you were saying about teams that quit playing in the cold. Las Vegas, Las Vegas. So, oh, that makes me feel better about that Eagles bet. Despite the Kenny Pickett revenge angle, of course.
Kenny Pickett revenge angle, it's hard to quantify.
That's making me sweat now. All right. We will be back next week for week 16 on Wednesday. But until then, best of luck with your bets.